Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, we hear our Savior Jesus speaking from his heart to ours, calling us to see the world and to see all people in the world in the way that he sees them, with eyes so full of love, so full of compassion and care and concern. As we just heard, the gospel reading for today began with these words, words telling about how Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Jesus saw people. He didn't just see a whole crowd of nameless, faceless people, but he saw individual people, hurting and hungry and needy. This is no far-off God who just created the world and the universe and then stepped back and had nothing more to do with what he had created. Now, this is the God who became flesh himself, who became a true human being and lived on this earth together with the people that he had created. This, Jesus, is the Good Shepherd. He is the shepherd who knows each of his sheep by name, even though there are billions of them around the world. He is the one who welcomed the little children to come to him, who said to those who were trying to stop the children from coming to him because they thought that it would be too much trouble for Jesus, he said, "Stop. Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." He is the one who said through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 43, he said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And so today we learn from Jesus how to see with compassion, how to see others with compassion. And that begins, as we see from Jesus' example, by seeing people as individuals, not just as nameless, faceless people out there among the crowd, by really paying attention to them and getting to know them. And too often our natural tendency as sinful people is to group people into us and them groups, to kind of, whether consciously or unconsciously, kind of divide people into our kind of people and other kinds of people. We might differentiate people by where they live, their socioeconomic level, their skin color, the language that they speak, what country their passport is from, their achievements or their lack of achievements, their political affiliation or ideology. All too often we don't see individual people, but instead we tend to group people, to see classes of people. But we who believe in Jesus, who follow our Savior Jesus, are called to see people as Jesus did, one by one, as individuals, each one precious in God's sight, each one a soul for whom Jesus came and gave up his life on the cross so that they would be with him for eternity. We're called to see people in the same way that Jesus saw each one of us, as he knows our needs, as he cares about each one of us individually. And so that is the beginning of seeing with compassion. And as we heard from Matthew describing this ministry of Jesus, as he went throughout the towns and villages of that region, he tells us that Jesus' heart went out to the people who were gathering around to see him and to come to him for healing and to hear his teaching. Jesus saw the hurting, the defeated, the humiliated, the sad, the lonely people who were coming to him. Jesus saw the people who were feeling frustrated by the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire, who was now in control of their homeland. He saw people who felt that they lacked any hope of a future. He saw people who had very little spiritual leadership and guidance from the religious rulers of that day. There were people with no direction, no goal, no seeming purpose in life, no future that they could think of or foresee. And that is why Jesus had compassion on them. Think about our world today, especially in light of the circumstances of the last few months. How there are so many people who are helpless, who are hopeless and hurting at this time. Even before these events, so many people are buying books or now compulsively watching YouTube videos to try to look for anything that will bring them relief from those feelings of emptiness that they have in their hearts, something that will bring direction for them in their lives. And so many people turn to popular psychology or horoscopes or advice on relationships. People are looking and aching for meaning and for purpose in their lives. They're looking for something or for someone to fill that void in their hearts. But that's a void that only Jesus and the gospel, the good news of his love and forgiveness and salvation, can fill. And until they find Jesus, and until they find that comfort and that peace of the gospel, they'll always be searching for something to satisfy that ache and that emptiness inside. Jesus shared with his disciples what he saw, what he observed after he saw those crowds of people. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful." And the disciples seemed to understand Jesus' words. They had been there with him. They had seen those people who had come to him one by one. The people who had followed Jesus and gathered together in those towns and villages. They had seen the emptiness, the fears, the defeat, the sense of foreboding, the aimless wandering on the faces of those individual people who came to Jesus for help. And they were also filled with the same compassion that Jesus had for them. Well, that's not to say that we focus on others, on the non-Christians, and think that only they are the ones who are hurting, that Christians are never hurting or are always feeling joyful and happy and peaceful in the Lord. Not true. Christians live in this same world of sin and all of its aftermath and effects, in this world of unemployment, in this world of instant gratification and all the temptations that come with it, in this world of uncertain futures. But there's a difference. People of God, followers of Jesus, who have faith in Jesus as their Savior and in all of God's promises, know about God's love and forgiveness and about God's promise of heaven as our ultimate destination. Think about the people you might know in your neighborhood or at your place of work who are Christians, who believe in Jesus as their Savior. And maybe they don't talk about it all the time. Maybe they don't even talk about it a lot, but you can just tell just by looking at them and looking at the way they live and by listening to the way they speak, there's something different about them. That they generally just have a sense of a deep and abiding peace and joy, knowing God's love and the salvation and eternal life that he has prepared for them in heaven. They just simply can't help living out their faith because their lives have been built on the solid foundation of God's word and his love and forgiveness. And so they view everything in life through that lens of the gospel of salvation. You and I also have that kind of difference in our lives. We know about the Savior Jesus who died and rose for us, who forgives all of our sins, who lives in our hearts, whose Holy Spirit assures us that we are his children, even when the devil attacks us and tries to make us doubt that truth. We know that life is more than just food and drink and temporal pleasures and happiness here and now. We know that we are destined to live with God forever in heaven. And so it's no wonder that we have peace and joy in our hearts. After telling his disciples that the harvest was waiting, the harvest is plentiful, Jesus then said to his disciples, "But the workers are few. Therefore, pray to that the Lord of the harvest will send out workers into his harvest." Jesus' prayer and the prayer that he instructed his disciples to pray was that those who already knew and believed in Jesus as their Savior, who knew his love and forgiveness and the salvation that he had won for them, that they would take that good news out with them and share that, spread that to the people who didn't yet know that good news, so that they also would come to believe it and come to view everything in life through that lens of the gospel, so that they would have that same deep and abiding peace and joy and hope for eternal life. Our text then continues with the beginning of Matthew chapter 10. And as we see the transition there, it almost seems as if Jesus is saying, guess what? You know what I just told you to pray for? Pray that the Lord would send out workers into the harvest to help to gather in that plentiful harvest? Well, your prayers have been answered. You are the answer to God's prayer. You are God's answer to your prayer, I should say. God has called you to go out and to spread that good news. And so Jesus called his disciples together, and he got them ready to go out on a short mission trip to spread that good news, to heal diseases just as he had done, and to drive out demons, and even to raise the dead back to life, all by the power that God gave them, to demonstrate to the people who were listening to their message that the good news about Jesus the Savior that they were proclaiming is the truth. Contrast that with the religious leaders of the time, the Jewish religious leaders, who really hadn't actually given the people that they were supposed to be leading much help or guidance spiritually. They were indeed, as Jesus said elsewhere, the blind leading the blind. In essence, what they had said to the people was, you go and fix yourselves, fix your life, live the way that God wants you to live, and then come back to us, and then we will help you. But of course, that was no help at all for the people. And the people began to suspect, as we see from the gospel writers and what they record for us, that the people began to suspect that those religious leaders really didn't understand themselves about God's will and about spiritual matters. Those religious leaders of that day had no message of hope for the people. And in fact, as Jesus tells us, they had left the people practically as sheep without a shepherd, left to wander on their own spiritually. And so Jesus called his disciples and he gave them power and authority to carry out the mission that he was giving them. Just as we saw at Jesus' ascension, we read about it at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. And surely I am with you always until the end of the age." Jesus is essentially saying this same thing now to his disciples as he called them, each one by name, and prepared them for the task he was giving them to be missionaries, to spread the good news of his love. Jesus told his disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Later, he would send them, after his ascension into heaven, he would send them out beyond the borders of their own homeland and their own fellow countrymen to spread the good news of Jesus as the Savior of the world to the other peoples of the world, But now he instructs them to go to the lost sheep of Israel. He sent them to those hurting and wandering, ashamed and lost and heartsick people whom he loved. These people, the people of Israel, were Jesus' covenant community who had had his word and had the promises of God for hundreds and even thousands of years, and who were waiting for God to fulfill that promise to send the Savior. And so now Jesus sends his disciples out to go and proclaim that that promise is being fulfilled. The Savior is here. Now let's think about a little bit, perhaps an application of that instruction of Jesus, sending the disciples to go to the lost sheep of Israel. Let's think about how that might apply to us today. Although, of course, as we hear in the Great Commission, Matthew chapter 28, Jesus says to go and make disciples of all nations. And so we know that our mission is to all the people of the whole world. But yet, let's not overlook the fact that our mission is also to people right here, even in our own homes, and certainly in our own communities, our neighborhoods, and our workplaces and classrooms. The gospel is meant for every member of our own families. It's never too late for someone to come to know and believe in the forgiveness of sins that Jesus has won for them on the cross, and to know and truly believe and feel and experience the hope and the peace and the joy that knowing that love and forgiveness of Jesus brings into our hearts. And so the Israel to whom our mission is directed, to whom Jesus calls us in mission, and also includes not only our families, but also this family of believers, this community of believers here in our church. It's also our calling to help each other here, our fellow members of St. Andrew Lutheran Church, to grow in our faith in Jesus, our Savior, to grow in the knowledge of God's word and his promises of love for us, to grow in building up this community and caring for each other and caring for the people of this community, so that this church truly becomes, as Jesus said, a city set on a hill that reflects the light of God's love to the people around us who are not yet members of the Church of Jesus, believers in him. So that as they see our love, as they know about our care and concern for them and for all people, they would be interested to hear and to listen to what it is that motivates us. What is it that gives us such peace in our hearts? And we'll have opportunity to tell them about God's love and salvation through Jesus. Seeing with compassion. Do you see what Jesus saw as he looked at those crowds of people? He didn't just see a big crowd. He saw individual people. He saw them, and as the omniscient, all-knowing, eternal God, he knew everything about them and their lives. We can't possibly hope to know that, but we can learn about people and learn about what they're experiencing in their lives. Jesus saw mission. And he saw us, his followers, in that mission. And so we pray, Lord, help us to see. Help us to see just as you saw, with eyes full of compassion and care and love. The same compassion that sent you to die for us on the cross. Amen.